Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of the proclamation of your word. For it is the means by which you have guided us in these years of our journey, these years of our travail upon this earth. And Father, we pray that you would just renew in us this Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ, Savior Jesus Christ. We celebrate his life, we celebrate his death, but more so, Father, we celebrate his resurrection. And because he died and because he lives, we know that we too one day shall die, but we just rejoice in the hope that we will be resurrected as well. Father, we pray today for someone who has come in who does not know you as Lord and Savior. For someone, Father, who has arisen from their bed to be in this place to hear the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that the Spirit of God right now would just work in and on their hearts to cause them, Father, to want to surrender their life and receive the very blessing that you have for us all. Father, I pray right now for preaching power, for your anointing afresh, that I might be preaching, be able to preach better than I am able. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to share a message fitting for this time and for this hour, this early morning. I want to ask the question, is it still dark? Is it still dark? And our theme text will come from that first verse, which says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early." If you can imagine, she got up early at 6 a.m. to be at the tomb, and the Bible says, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Is it still dark? Here is a letter written to a local advice column along with the response. The letter begins, "Dear Eutychus, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross, that he really did not die, and that the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? Signed, sincerely, Bewildered." The response is, it says, "Dear Bewildered, beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails with 39 heavy strokes. Nail him to a cross. Hang him in the sun for 6 hours. Run a spear through his heart. Embalm him. Put him in an airless tomb for 36 hours and see what happens. Sincerely, Eutychus." There was no doubt about it. Jesus was dead. The flow of blood and water that issued forth from his side when a spear was thrust in proved that he was dead. The captain of the guard, who specialized in recognizing death, declared that he was dead. Jesus' enemies who came to watch him die, they would not have left unless they were absolutely convinced that he had really died. Pilate was convinced that Jesus was dead. Guards were placed at the tomb to keep his disciples from stealing a dead body. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who took Jesus' body down from the cross and prepared it for burial. They knew that Jesus was dead. Have you got the picture? Without a doubt, Jesus was dead. Jesus, having suffered a shameful and painful death on the cross, was now dead. And all who beheld him, all who touched and handled him, recognized this fact to be true. But that was Friday. Awesomely called Good Friday. Saturday was a scripturally silent day, and we can only assume that it was a time when everyone, in addition to observing the Sabbath day, reflected on what had happened, reflected on what they had seen, reflected on the pain and the agony of all that they had seen. But on Sunday, Mary Magdalene, who had witnessed the crucifixion, was anxious. She couldn't sleep. The Sabbath rest was now complete. And so she awakened from her sleep to go to Jesus. Women were the last at the cross. Women were the earliest at the grave. John 20, verse 1 tells us in his gospel, he says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb." Jesus, John tells us that it was early, that it was still dark. It was still dark. It was still dark. John says it was still dark. Turn and shake someone's hand and say that it's still dark. It was still dark. Mary loved Jesus. Mary served Jesus. Mary walked with Jesus. Yet we find her on resurrection morning experiencing darkness. But not only physical darkness as she made her way to the tomb, but spiritual darkness as to what her future held. Jesus had said that he would rise again, but the crucifixion left her with a hollow feeling, a feeling of hopelessness, a feeling of despair, and maybe she was even entering into a sense of depression. And everything had been going so well. He had been raising the dead. He had been healing the sick. There were thousands who had hailed his entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And now this. What would she do now? As I read this passage, I couldn't help but think of the many people who, like Mary, struggle and strive, who work hard, who use their mental and physical energies trying to bask in the sunshine of God's prosperity. And having done all that they know how to do, they look around and they find that it's still dark. I see people who are trying to bask in the sunshine of God's grace and God's mercy, and they look around and they find that for all of their efforts and for all of their energies, it's still dark. As I read this passage, it brought to mind that life has its joys and life has its disappointments. It has its triumphs and life has its defeats. And this morning, someone knows what I'm talking about. Someone is trying to love and be loved in a meaningful relationship. Someone is trying to be a responsible parent and trying to be a good mother and trying to be a good father. And someone is struggling in a marital relationship, trying to be a good husband and trying to be a good wife. And someone's undergoing doctor's treatment and they're hoping and expecting and wishing and desiring to walk in the fullness of health. Someone today needs an answer to prayer. And for all your struggling and for all of your striving and for all of your effort, it seems like it's still dark. things have not changed. There has been little or no improvement. And possibly things have even gone from bad to worse. When seemingly all hope has been expended, when it looks like there's nothing else to do and nowhere else to turn, when it seems like there's nothing else to try, what do you do when it's still dark? Turn to someone and ask, what do you do when it's still dark? Well, first of all, you need to understand that darkness is no respecter of persons. Darkness doesn't care if you are a saint or a sinner. Darkness doesn't care if you're black or white. Darkness doesn't care if you're rich or poor. Darkness doesn't care if you're strong or healthy. All of us at some time will experience in our life some darkness. There will be some midnights in your life. You cannot bask in the sunshine of God's grace every day. There will be some days when you will walk in darkness. John 14:1 says that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. But what do you do? What do you do when it's dark? When you find yourself walking in darkness, what do you do when it seems like your every day is overshadowed by darkness? And no matter how hard you try to walk in the light, you find yourself in. What do you do when it's dark? How do you handle troubles that seemingly cloud over your life and block the sunshine of God's prosperity? What solution is there for darkness? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, we need to look forward to walking in the light. We need to look forward. We need to anticipate walking in the light. Mary got up early. She was expectant of the sun to shine. Mary was moving. Mary was doing something. She came early while it was still dark. It was early when she began. And Mary's purpose was to embalm the body of Jesus. This implied that she had given up hope and had no expectation of Jesus' resurrection. However, it was an act of courage for her to get up in the darkness, to go to the grave, and if necessary, to confront the rude guards that might be there. And who would move that large stone that had been placed in front of the grave? She didn't know what kind of circumstance she might find. She only knew that she had to go. She had to get up early, and she had to go to the grave. Some of you got up this morning, and you just had to get up. You just had to come to church. There was just something in you that says, I've got to be there. I know it's early. It's not my normal pattern. It's not my normal routine. But I've just got to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And Mary said, I just got to go. Sometimes the Spirit of God leads us that way. And faith is like that. Faith does not need to know what's at the end of the road, only which way to go. I don't know about you, but in my lifetime and in my ministerial career, sometimes all I've had is just a direction. God says, go that way. And if you're like me, God has sometimes just given you a desire to go in a direction, and you don't know necessarily where it's going to end. You don't know what it's all about, but God has just said, you need to go and do this. Go that way. And as you've gone that way, you found that God has given you some road signs and given you some directions along the way. But first of all, you have to be willing to go. And some of us just want to play it safe. We don't want to move. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to upset the balance of our life. But if we would just listen to the Spirit of God and go, we would find that God has a great blessing. That God has a great blessing if we'll just go. Some people who find themselves embedded in darkness, contrary to Mary's courage, contrary to Mary's willingness to go despite obvious obstacles. When confronted with an extremely difficult situation, are stymied by the darkness. And they find themselves engaging in pity parties. You know anybody who engages in pity parties? Who every time that you talk to them, they have a woe is me kind of attitude, and they just engage in pity party. Let me tell you, nobody wants to come to your pity party. Some people, when they're faced with extreme obstacles, they are staggered by the darkness. They're immobilized to the point of despair. They can't get up. They can't do anything. They are immobilized by the seeming challenge that before them. Some people complain when it's dark. A woe is me kind of attitude and want everyone around them to suffer along with them to experience the same frustration that they're having. Some people are at their wits' end when it's dark. And when we find ourselves dealing with darkness, when we find ourselves unable to see the end of our circumstance, we need to look forward to walking in the light. We need to understand, as that old song says, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Little Orphan Annie would say, the sun will come out tomorrow. We need to understand that every road has its end. Every hill has its crest. Every down has an up. Every bad has a good. Every negative has a positive. Every mountain has its top. And when you get to the top, you can see the vision that God has been trying to show you all along. When in the midst of darkness, when in the midst of seeming hopelessness, we need to look forward to walking in the light. We need to anticipate that there's some sunshine out there somewhere. And if I will just continue to stumble in this darkness, eventually I will find the light. The psalmist in Psalms 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but be assured that joy will come in the morning. Paul in Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. We'll find what we're looking for if we faint not, if we don't lose heart. Yes, things may be rough. The going may be tough. The hills may be hard to climb, but don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't quit. And if you get tired of anything, get tired of something significant, get tired of lying, get tired of doing folks wrong, get tired of scheming, get tired of conniving. If you're going to get tired of something, get tired of those things. But don't get weary in well-doing, for eventually you will reap. Psalms 1:3 tells us that we all have a season. It speaks of the righteous man in verse 3. It says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You have a season. You have a season. I have a season. Every person has a season. But the interesting thing, you cannot make your season come. See, it may be wintertime right now. But if you hang in there, right around the corner is spring. Spring is on its way, but there's nothing that we can do in the wintertime to hasten the coming of spring. And when we get in spring, we don't need to get too comfortable, because right after spring comes summer, and then comes fall, and then comes winter again. You need to understand that every person has a season. And so now, sometimes we tend to be jealous of folks. And you should not be jealous when someone is experiencing their season. Now, don't get mad with someone because they're walking in the seasons of God's prosperity. It's wrong to be jealous of what God has done in his wisdom, that he has blessed someone with something possibly more than you have. Don't look on outward appearances. You never know what's going on in a person's life until you walk in their shoes. Things are often not as they seem. It may appear that that person is having a great season, but you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Everybody has a season. And wherever God has you right now, don't fuss. Don't fight. Don't complain. Don't cuss. Just hang in your season. Just live in your season, recognizing and anticipating that God has another season coming for you. Just like seasons change in the natural, there's seasons in the spiritual as well. The worst thing that you can do is this. When you find yourself in darkness, when you find yourself in a negative season, if you will, the worst thing you can do when you find yourself in darkness is to turn away from coming to church. Turn away from prayer meeting. Turn away from Bible study. Turn away from choir rehearsal. Turn away from fellowship with other saints of God. By doing so, you choose to walk in the darkness. You choose to extend your season. You choose to walk in darkness rather than in light. We turn to the light when we receive him who is the light. Jesus said in John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, what that verse tells us is that even though things around us may be chaotic, even though things around us may be confused, even though things around me, they may not be happening as I would like, just because it's happening around me does not mean that it has to be happening in me. When I am in Christ and Christ is in me, I have the light of life. And no matter how dark it may be around me, I can walk in the sunshine of the knowledge that I am a child of God and that God's favor is ultimately upon me. If you're looking for a way out of your dilemma, Jesus is the way. He is the light that can bring hope to you in the midst of despair, joy in the midst of sorrow. He can help in the midst of your hopelessness. In Christ, we can experience the light of God's love. If you're in the darkness, you need to anticipate walking in the light. Well, secondly, you need to watch your associations. You need to watch your associations. Just as there is a positive, there is also a negative. As sure as there is a do, there's some also a don't. If you want to get rid of the darkness, you must not only look forward to walking in the light, but you must watch your associations. If you want to walk in the light, if you want to walk in love, if you want to walk in the positive things of life, you cannot deal with dead folk. Dead folk. Dead folk with dead mentalities, with graveyard mentalities, folks who ain't about nothing, folks who ain't going nowhere, folks who ain't studying nobody. About nothing or nobody, just D-E-A-D, dead folk. You need to watch your associations. See, because dead folk will drag you down. Dead folk will discourage you. You, if you want to walk in the light of God's prosperity, you must walk with people who are going somewhere, who have a made-up mind. Our associations often cause a simulation. See, young people, there are some dangers in just hanging out with anybody. Because who you hang with in many ways will contribute to who and what you ultimately become. If you want to come out of the darkness, don't deal with dead folk. The psalmist says in Psalms 1:1, he says, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, dead folk, nor stands in the place of sinners, dead folk, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, dead folk. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Some of us are hanging out with some dead folk. We got some dead friends. They have never been about nothing. Ain't never going to be about nothing. And you hanging with them hoping to be something. If you want to be something, you need to hang out with some folks who are trying to make something of themselves. Some of you ladies are hanging out with some dead men. Men who don't have jobs, don't have a car, living with their mama. And you're hoping to be successful. You're not going to be successful hanging out with a dead man. And the same thing goes for men. You can't be successful if you're hanging out with a dead woman. It's somebody who has a dead mentality, don't want to do nothing, don't want to be nothing kind of mentality. You have to watch your associations. Now, Mary went to the tomb, which was also the wrong place. Even the angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? If you're going to come out of the darkness into the light, you need to be around those where something is happening. You need to watch your associations. The Bible says we should not be unequally yoked, that light and the darkness ought not to get along together. Whenever you're trying to get out of the darkness, you need to talk to someone that is in the light. If you are sick, don't hang around with someone who has no vision for the healing power of God. If you're having trouble with your children, you'll never find answers hanging out with someone who does not have theirs under control. If you're looking for a job, you won't find any work hanging out daily with those who are unemployed. If you're having marital problems, there's no solutions in hanging out with those who are single. If you're trying to get your spiritual life in tune, you cannot hang out with those who only want to sing the world's songs. Come to tell you today that you need to watch your associations. And if you will do these two things, if you will look forward to walking in the light, if you will look forward to the dawning of a new day, if you will watch your associations and not deal with dead folk, then thirdly, you'll find that the light of God's love will break through. A patrol officer was patrolling one night in northern England some time ago, and he heard a quivering sob. And turning in the direction of it, he saw a little boy sitting on a doorstep, and tears were rolling down his face, and the child whimpered, "I'm lost, take me home." And the police officer began naming street after street, trying to help him remember where he lived. And when all that failed, he repeated the names of some shops and some hotels in the area, but all without success. Then he remembered that in the center of the city, there was a well-known church with a large, high cross that towered above all the other buildings. He pointed to that cross and he says, "Do you live anywhere near that?" And the voice face got bright and he stopped crying. He says, yes, take me to the cross and I can find my way home from there. The cross of Jesus Christ is the spiritual marker that points our way home. It's not our home, but it symbolizes our way home. It's the symbol of pain. It's the symbol of agony that Jesus Christ went through for you and for me. And he endured the sins of humanity. He did that for your sins and my sins that we might both have eternal life. Christianity stands, however, not on just the cross. Many have died on crosses. But Christianity stands on the resurrection. Everything that Jesus taught, everything that Jesus lived for, everything that Jesus died for depended upon his resurrection. Out of all the miracles that he performed, the resurrection is the most amazing of all his miracles. The Christian faith is based upon the fact that there is an empty tomb. Jesus staked everything that he had on the fact that he would be resurrected from the grave. Not only was Jesus' life at stake, that he would be raised from the grave, but God's word that he spoke were also at stake. If Jesus had not been raised from the grave, God would have failed. It would have been a complete defeat, and we all know that God does not fail. Friday. Good Friday was a dark day at the cross. Saturday was a dark day as well. When things seem the bleakest, when things seem the darkest, God broke through. When things seemed hopeless, God broke through. When the grave thought it was victorious, God broke through. The fact announced by the angel to Mary is the best attested in all of human history. When he said, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Without a firm belief that Jesus died and was raised on the third day, there would be no Easter faith. There'd be no reason for us to be here this morning. Our Easter faith is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no substitute for the resurrection experience. It validated and affirmed not only the life and death of Jesus Christ, but also a glorious resurrection. Our Easter faith in the resurrection is the heart and soul of our Christian living. Leave out the resurrection, and Christianity becomes merely a Good Friday religion. Leave out the resurrection, and our hero and Savior concludes his story in a borrowed tomb. However, when you add the resurrection, they still haven't had a funeral service for Jesus yet. The message of the gospel that the gospel brings to us is that God broke through. God broke through the limited span of time with the vastness of eternity. God broke through the prison of sin and death with the freedom of forgiveness and salvation. God broke through the maze of doubt and fear with a new faith and with a perfect love that casts out all fear. God broke through the cross of defeat and defeat and death with victory and eternal life. God broke through the black night of hopelessness, despair, and discouragement with new hope, faith, and eternal bliss. God broke through. And because he broke through, because his son was resurrected, we can be confident that we will live as well. What is the answer to the darkness within? What is the hope that the widow has as she stands beside a fresh grave? It's the hope that as Christ was resurrected, that all of us who die in Christ will be resurrected as well. I hope that you recognize that God has done a marvelous thing in raising his son from the dead to the newness of life. And because he lives, we have hope. Even though we from day to day may walk in darkness, we have hope because our hope is in him who is in the light. And we walk not in darkness, but we walk in the light of God's love. Someone today needs to come out of your dark situation. Come out of your despair. Come out of your hopelessness. Come out of your depression. And trust Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior. And we invite you to do that today. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Father, we are so thankful and grateful